Such a good song service this morning, and thank all of you for joining us together in song. Aren't you glad that the God that we come to serve this morning is alive and well? And He is. In the book of John, the 4th chapter and verse 24, Jesus said that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And we have come this morning to worship our God. And we're glad that all of you have made the effort to be here this morning to do that. Yesterday, and as Adam mentioned a moment ago, it was a great, great day. Really was. We had 30 men who gathered here. And I'm so proud of the men of the congregation here, and I know Dale is as well. 30 men who gathered up here to work and labor for the Master. And the breakfast was just a side treat. It really, really was. And I want to tell you, those guys that fixed breakfast did a marvelous job. I will tell you, it sounded like the pit grill in there, though. But anyway, it really was good. And I want you to know that McDonald's doesn't have anything on those guys. It was great. And we really, really appreciate it. All of you that worked. So much was accomplished. And so much is accomplished when people work together for the cause of Jesus our Lord. You know, depression is a bad thing. We hear a lot in today's world about depression. Now, the kind of depression that we're talking about this morning is not the depression that occurred back in the year 1929. And even though that was a devastating thing, and it had a devastating effect upon our economy, upon our nation, and not only our nation, but internationally as well. But we know that we live in a downturn economically. We know that a lot of people are hurting, and Jack prayed about those people, and rightfully so. We all ought to be praying about those people that are undergoing difficult times. But you know, the depression that many of us ought to be concerned about more so today is not the depression that some believe is lurking on the horizon, but rather a depression within our mind. Do you know, it is estimated that 16% of all of the world's population will experience depression at some time in their life. Did you know that you are 10 times more likely to be depressed in your mind and in your spirit than your father? And you are 20 times, scientists tell us, to be there's a chance that you're going to be depressed 20 times more than your grandfather. And only 1 in 7 will get help for their depression. And if you don't get help, you will be passive, you will be sad, nothing will get better, there will be that feeling of helplessness, hopelessness. You will feel that no one understands you, and you will probably feel in your heart and in your mind that I would be better off dead and out of this world. And many people take their lives today, and many people commit suicide because they are extremely depressed. Now, Jesus Christ came to the world to lift that depression off of us. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter that we are to cast our cares on Him, for He cares for us. There are more people today in our world taking depression medicine more than any other drug. And I want you to tell you, first of all, there is nothing wrong with taking medication for depression. I would also tell you, according to the Bible, that it is not a sin to be depressed or to get depressed. I've heard people say, well, you know, you just ought to suppress that depression. And, it is a sin for you to be depressed. I would tell you, according to the Bible, that it is not a sin to ever get depressed. It is a sin for us to do nothing at all about our depression. Jesus, when He went before the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, was one, no doubt, who was depressed. And the Bible says that in that moment of depression where he prays unto God, he says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And he said, if it is possible, let this cup of death pass from me. But not as I will, but as thou wilt. And the Bible says that the perspiration drops that fell from the forehead and from the face of our Savior were as drops of blood that were hitting the ground. Now that tells me that God is not trying to communicate unto us that it is a sin or a violation of God's law for us to be depressed at times. Depression is more than just having the blahs, however. It is more than just having the blues. Depression is a feeling of helplessness, a feeling of hopelessness, and a feeling of being unable to do anything at all about it. Now, with that in mind, would you turn this morning to the book of Psalms chapter 42? Psalms chapter 42. David said, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them into the house of God, and the voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude that kept the holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone before me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. And I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, if you were to go back and analyze those words that David penned over 4,000 years ago, you could surely believe that there was that feeling of depression within the heart of this servant of God, this man who was after the very heart of the Almighty. Now, I think there are some things that you and I need to recognize about depression this morning. I do believe that we can conquer it. I do believe that it is something that we can overcome, but I don't think we can do it by ourselves. I believe that with the help of God, however, it is something that we can conquer. I would suggest to you, first of all, that we ought to really face up to the fact of depression. Depression is factual. It is with us. And we see people that are depressed every day. You just listen to people in common verbality today in their conversation with each other. Quite often, they're talking about how depressed they are, and we all get that way. As a matter of fact, I was watching a commentator the other night on Fox News, and he was talking about our nation is in a nation of mental and soul depression. Because of all the problems that we face, and you know what? Many of us, many generations that now live today, have not faced a real depression or real recession. And because we have people that are losing their jobs today, people that are losing their homes, people that are losing their life savings in the stock market, and perhaps banks folding, and perhaps many other investments, it is enough to depress people. But we have to remember that God is still on the throne. And we have to remember that God has never promised to meet our greed, but he has promised to meet our need. And when we seek him, that God is going to provide for his children. If you don't believe that, go back and read the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, where Jesus said that all of these things that are the essential to life and living, God will add to you. He'll see you have clothes to wear. He'll see you have a place to live and a place to lay your head at night. He will see that you have food on the table and food in your body. He will take care of you. For David said, I have seen the righteous. And he says, I have been young and I have been old, and I have never seen the righteous of God forsaken. We have to face up to it. David asked that question 3 times in this particular text. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And I think the reason that he asked that is based upon what he says back in the 40th chapter of the book of Psalms. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And for all of those that may have lost their song, he says, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord my God. Do you know there was a time in ancient Israel when, and we know that they had musical instruments in ancient times, and back during the days of the Old Testament. And there was a time when many of those in Israel would play their harps and they would strum their harps. But the time came when they actually hung their harps up. And one of the prophets said, why have you hung your harps up? And they said, we have lost our song. You know, it's easy for us, I think, at times to lose our song. We must face the fact of depression. We must admit it and not deny it. You are not unusual if you get depressed. Do you know some of the greatest statesmen that have ever lived face depression? We have been thinking about more recently this month, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was a great man. And George Washington, the father of our country, was a great man. But there were times when they got depressed. Abraham Lincoln found himself in the throes of depression quite often. He did. As a matter of fact, he failed in business. He went bankrupt. He was defeated in one election after another. But by the help of God, he was elected to the Oval Office, the highest office in this country. Winston Churchill was often hounded by the throes of depression and what he called the black dog of depression. He said it haunted him all of his life. You're not unusual if you get depressed. God doesn't love you less because you get depressed. Moses in the Old Testament, after he had led the children of God in the wilderness, why the Bible tells us that they had loathed the light bread and the quail, the manna that God had supplied from heaven, and they were ready. They were ready to take Moses out of the picture to get rid of him. And as a matter of fact, Moses even makes this statement to God in Numbers 11 and verse 15. He says, will you kill me? Take my life. Well, even Elijah in the book of 1 Kings 19 and verse 4 asked God to do the same thing, to take my life, to get me out of the way. It is better for me to die than it is for me to live. Face the fact of depression. Many people do not. Many people won't own up to it. And aren't we all the same way? Someone asks you how you do it. You greet them on the street and you say, how you doing? And they say, fine. They may not be fine at all. They may have a terrible heartache. They may have sorrow going on within their soul. And they never, ever acknowledge it. The first thing a person needs to do to overcome his depression is to admit it and face up to it. But then there's another thing. We must not fear the force of depression. Sometimes we fail to remember that depression is caused by a number of things, and it is. Sometimes depression is indigenous, that it is caused by a lack of proper hormones within the body. We often say sometimes that people are chemically depressed, and that in order to be the kind of person that God wants you to be, you have to have the right kind of hormones within the body. We know that's true. And so we go to the doctor and we get the right kind of medication that is going to help us function as we ought to. Women, when they go through the change of life, often go for hormone therapy. And there's a lot of debate about that today. But seriously, folks, it is something that women ought to consider. Men go through depression as well. Sometimes our depression is reactive. It could be that maybe you're going through a divorce, and so you get real depressed about it. You don't know how to handle it. You don't know what you're going to do. You suddenly have lost your security or perhaps a relationship that you had with someone. It could be maybe the death of a loved one. And you know what? Jesus Christ answers all of those questions. He is the one that helps us deal with divorce. He is the one that helps us deal with death. Sometimes depression is toxic, maybe as a result of things that we put in our body. Maybe we're not eating the right kinds of food. Maybe sometimes, you know, people take diet pills. Sometimes it causes them to go into some kind of deep, deep depression. Sometimes other chemicals. And sometimes it is psychotic. Sometimes people are born with depression. Sometimes depression is caused by a lot of things that we just, as human beings, do not understand. And I've learned through the years that you have to be patient with people that are going through depression. I have also learned that one of the worst things that you can do is to say, oh, come on, get out of that depression. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's not what people need to hear. It isn't. And you know what? Jesus didn't respond to people in that way either. And I know well-meaning, intentioned people say things to other people to try to bring them out of their depression that probably are not the things that ought to be said. What causes it? Well, sometimes it's caused by physical things. David referred to the fact of his tears in Psalms chapter 42. Did he not? He said, my tears, look at verse 3, he said, my tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is your God? He couldn't sleep. Go back and read Psalms 32. These are signs of depression, folks. People that cannot sleep, and a lot of people that do not get proper sleep will get depressed. They will. That's why the Bible often speaks about keeping the body in working order. That's why the Bible teaches us that your body belongs to God just as much as your spirit and as your soul belongs to God. And if you don't get the proper exercise, those little endorphins that are released within your body that aid the healing will cause you to go into a deep depression. A lack of sleep, a lack of proper exercise. All of these can cause chemical reactions within your body. And listen, not only did you know that scientists and medical technology has proven that depression can cause cancer in your body, and it can cause heart disease, it can cause high blood pressure, hypertension, and a lot of other maladies that are often associated with it. It can have a physical effect upon your body. And it renders you useless for God. Because if your body, which is the temple of God, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, is not functioning as it ought to, you cannot be a light to other people. Sometimes our depression is caused by emotional problems. Notice what David says. He says, not only my tears, but he says, oh, my soul. The soul is the seat of your emotions. It's like we say sometimes to people, well, they're emotionally disturbed. When they're going through depression, we say, well, they're having emotional problems. Circumstances often bring it about. Sometimes when people are told that they have cancer, it brings about emotional trauma, and it will throw them into a deep depression. When your husband walks in and says, hey, I don't love you anymore, I want out of the relationship. And that has happened numerous times. Or a woman walks in and says to her husband, I don't love you anymore. I don't want to be married to you anymore. or when you have problems with your children. And isn't it amazing that God deals with all of those things? Isn't it amazing? That's why he says that when two people come together in a relationship of marriage, that they are to be bound together until death, and that parents are to teach and train their children in the way that they should go. God tells us how to avoid many of these pitfalls that we often find ourselves in. It may be a spiritual problem that causes depression. I know a lot of people never think about that, but it's true. It may be something that you have done that has caused you to be depressed, spiritually speaking. And you won't admit it. And you'll carry that guilt around in your heart year after year after year, hoping at some point God will move on your heart and he will cause you to go and repent of your sin and get right with him before you die. But you will carry it around and you will harbor the guilt in your heart and do nothing at all about it. And so it makes you extremely depressed. You know, the devil knows how to cause depression. He does. The greatest tool the devil has is that of depression and discouragement. That's why the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 that we're to put on the whole armor of God, that we may stand against the wiles. That the word wiles there means the diabolical schemes of the devil that threaten our spiritual security. And if there is a spiritual problem going, you may take care of all the physical. You may be getting the right amount of sleep. You may be eating the right kinds of food. You may be getting the right kind of exercise. But if there is a spiritual problem going on in your heart, you will live in a depressed state. It'll never change. You may go to the doctor and the doctor said, I can't figure it out. Everything seems to be okay in your life. Why are you depressed when you have suppressed down deep within your soul that spiritual problem? And we will not confess it. It could be a personal problem that is going on in your life as well. Could be. You know, Christmas, we always look forward to Christmas, you know. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. But did you know that more suicides occur during the Christmas holidays than any other time? It's true. Sometimes depression is self-inflicted. We bring it on ourselves. Let me help you understand this. And I can't help but think, and I, you know, whether you agree with that stimulus package or not, that's your call. I have my opinion about it, as I mentioned this morning in the Bible class. I think our problem goes much deeper than a stimulus package, however, in this country. But I know a lot of people that go out and try to buy a home when they are not capable of buying that home, and then they face disclosure or foreclosure. Who do you blame, folks? Who do you really blame? It's like the man one time that went in to see the doctor. He was depressed. And he says, what have you been doing lately? What are you going to do? He says, well, he said, I went on a trip to Hawaii. He said, I bought a new car. He said, I just bought a $1 million home. He said, why in the world are you depressed? He says, I only make $100 a week. But then there's a third thing that we need to do, and that is we need to fight the feeling of depression. Did you know that God has called us to walk on the mountaintop of victory? That's where he's called us to be. Not in the throes of depression, not in the valley of unhappiness. And there are three things that we can do to overcome depression. And these are biblical, folks. What I'm telling you this morning is biblical. And God is saying he wants you to be happy. If you don't believe it, go back to the Sermon on the Mount and you'll find all of those what we call the Beatitudes that sum up everything that I'm telling you here this morning. Get right with God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Make your relationship right. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Three things that we need to do. And the first one is to get the right amount of rest. David said, I will lie down. Rest is so important. You know, Jesus did that. He recognized the value of it. There were times when Christ got away from the masses of people. And you know what? I don't think that Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, was a one-time place Jesus frequented. I believe he went there often. It was his getaway. And he got away from the throne of people. He got away from all of the problems of life. And he often retreated there just to rest. He told the disciples one time, he says, come ye apart and rest a while. You know why he said that? Because he knew that you needed to rest the body in order to rest the mind and in order to rest the spirit. Sometimes I think Jesus is just saying we have to chill out. We just have to meditate and think about where we are. But there's a second thing that we do when we fight depression, and that is we launch out. David said in Psalms 42, he said, I will pour out my soul. You know what he really said in this text? He says, I got out and I tried to serve other people. He said, instead of turning inward and thinking about my needs and saying, oh, poor me, or developing some kind of pity party that involved you and you alone, David said, I got out and I went out and I served other people. I have come to understand in my life in the ministry that the best way in the world to fight your problem is to help other people through theirs. Don't pull the shades of self-pity down on your life. But then there's a third thing, last of all, and that is to look up. Look up to God. David says in this chapter in Psalms 42, he says to hope in God. Listen to it. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. What David did was that he took his eyes off of self. And you know what? When you're looking up, you can't look at yourself. And you can't look at your problem. But you're looking up at one and the only one who can help you through your problem. That's why David said in Psalms 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. For my help cometh from the Lord that made the heavens and the earth. And he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. For he that keepeth Israel shall keep thy soul. He will be thy shade on thy right hand. And he will be. He is the one that enables us to conquer those feelings of depression. I can tell you one thing for sure, that the worst thing that people can do with depression is to give in to it. And I'll tell you another thing that you can do, folks, is act your way into a better way of feeling. How many of you got out of bed feeling good this morning? About half of you. If you're being honest, how many of you get up every morning ready to go bear hunting with a switch? Anybody? Anybody get up with those kinds of feelings, those feelings of euphoria? You don't do that. If you're like me, I throw my right foot out, and if it makes it, then I throw the left one out. And I try to get up. And I try to make the day the kind of day that God wants it to be. I do not give. give in to depression. I fight it. We all do. Every day. And we say, God, with your help, I will make it. And you will. I want you to notice something. You may have never really thought about this, but in Matthew 11:28, Jesus said something here. And I just have to think that he probably is calling the depressed more than anything else. Listen to this. Matthew 11:28. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest, not to the body, but to your soul, your spirit. And Jesus is still offering that today. Now, you may be going through some kind of crisis in your life. I don't know. But I know one thing, as I mentioned a moment ago, if it's physical, deal with it. Allow God to help you. Give you the wisdom to know what to do. If it's chemical, go to the doctor. Get something. If it's a spiritual problem, face up to it and ask God to forgive you and move on. If it is a personal problem that is weighing heavy upon your heart, again, turn to God and allow Him to lift that burden off your heart. We're going to sing a song here in just a minute that Sam has selected. The first verse of that song says, out of my bondage. Many are in bondage today to depression and a lot of things. Sorrow and night. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. And He wants you to come to Him this morning. If you understand that the only hope that you really have is God, and I'm telling you this morning, if you don't understand it, He is the only hope that you have. And when you turn away from Him, you turn away from the only one who can lift your burden and help you. And if you're willing to unload your burdens on Him, and the Bible says to cast your cares on Him, for He careth for you. If you're willing to cast your cares on Him and just say to God, God, I can't face this alone any longer. Need your help. Need the prayers of the church. I want to be stronger. I want to be a better example. I want to live my life to the fullest. I want to honor you above all. And I know that I can't honor you as long as I continue to stay in a state of depression when I can do something about it with your help. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, you have every reason to be depressed, because let me tell you something. When you leave this world, you will go to an eternal torment where you'll be banished from the presence of God and those you love forever and ever and ever. That's why it's so important to come to Jesus Christ. I can't think of anything that would depress me any more than to know that my heart was not right with God and I'm not serving God faithfully. And so this morning, you have the power to change that. And only you can change it. And if you'll come with a penitent heart this morning and a real desire deep within your spirit to say, I want to do better, and I'm going to tell you something, with God's help, I will do better. And I appreciate people who have that kind of resolve. And I want to be baptized this morning that all of my transgressions and sins can be forgiven. I really want to be a new person. I want to experience the new birth that Jesus taught about in John 3. Being born of the water and of the Spirit, regenerated. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Counter to depression, isn't it interesting, every story of the Bible, that when people were converted to Jesus Christ, they went on their way rejoicing? And you can this morning. And if you're a Christian and you are dealing with depression, or you're dealing with heartache, you're dealing with sorrow, you're dealing with emotional problems, and you really haven't faced up to it, you're not really fighting it this morning, would you turn to God who can help you? He's your only source. While we stand and while we sing.
Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come.